Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number three, Bart Scott. You know what that means.
The power hour.
Yes, and the gong is hit. And we are brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. And we go right now to the Goodyear hotline. It's been a very busy day for Adrian Wojnarowski. So, Woj, we appreciate you giving me a few minutes here, Thank you so much. And I do have to begin, though, with one that a report that crushed Bart.
Yeah.
Because he was fired up. One of his favorite players in the league is Bol Bol. And this is not a joke. He loves Bol Bol. And Bart's favorite team are the Detroit Pistons. And when he heard about the trade, when you announced that trade last week, it was Sunday? Well, whatever it was. He was fired up.
I was at the Clipper.
Yes.
Clippers somebody game, yeah.
Clippers somebody.
And I
sent it to Bart, and he flipped out. And then today you say that the trade now will not go through because he failed the physical. What is the background to that?
Yeah, listen, yeah, obviously you've got to pass a physical on a trade. And, you know, Bol Bol going into his year at the University of Oregon was considered potentially a top 5-7 pick and ended up dropping into the 40s. His season, I believe, was shortened at Oregon. And so there's an injury history there that has not been an issue in his time with the Nuggets. But in the physical and the evaluations in Detroit, they decided to not pass him. And so he goes back to Denver, and there's no deal. Rodney Magruder, who was going to go to the Nuggets, goes back to obviously the Pistons. And so Bol Bol continues to be a Denver Nugget.
Wow. So you talk about the frustration about him wanting to get playing time. You know, is that a tough environment for him to walk back because he's still trying to get an opportunity? Because the Pistons didn't pass him, do we believe that any other teams will try and pass him as they try and honor his wishes to go somewhere where he can get an opportunity?
Yeah, that remains to be seen. Certainly, you know, Denver could share his medical information with the team ahead of a trade or ahead of an agreement and say, hey, listen, here's what we have, and if you want to look at it, somebody else might evaluate it differently. It's certainly not been a player who's been injured and out, but sometimes there's things that one team might green light, another won't. And so I think Denver is very fond personally of Bol Bol, and Tim Connelly, their president, and Calvin Booth, their GM, you know, they tried to accommodate him, and knowing that there wasn't really a pathway to him having much of a role there. He'd be a restricted free agent this summer where, you know, somebody could sign him and they probably wouldn't match the sheet, an offer sheet on him, given just their payroll there. You're not going to commit to a player in that way. So it's possible somebody else could do a deal before the deadline, but there were a couple teams interested. I don't know that there's a big role for anybody. I don't know if there's a big role with anybody for Bol Bol, but I think, you know, could he be a player who can give you some minutes off the bench on a team? Yeah, I think that's the hope. But the idea that he's going to be a starting player somewhere, I don't think anybody sees him as that. But Detroit, who's in a full rebuild, you know, they're going to kind of take flyers on some different young guys who have some upside. You saw him do it with Josh Jackson, and that's worked out pretty well. And they were willing, for really a nominal price, nominal cost, you know, they were willing to do it with Bol.
Yeah, I've been trying to convince Bart of that, so I appreciate you saying that. Maybe he'll trust you, and who wouldn't? It's Adrian Wojnarowski joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. And so a trade that went down today, which is one that we heard rumors that Atlanta was going to start trying to make some moves, and they did, in a player that I guess with all the wing players they have in Atlanta didn't quite fit, wanted to get minutes, and had been frustrated, so they grant him his wishes and they make a trade. Cam Reddish traded to the Knicks. What is this? How did this trade go down, and what is his role going to be in New York?
Well, you know, really since training camp, and even back last year, Atlanta has been willing to move on from Cam Reddish. They can't pay him an extension. They have DeAndre Hunter coming up behind him. you know, and that's certainly, he's coming off an injury now, but that's a player they value more, his certainly a little more of a two-way player. And you've seen Atlanta. They've drafted well. They've extended Kevin Herter on his rookie extension this year, and John Collins, and, you know, a number of guys. You know, they're a team that's going to be facing some significant salary cap and luxury tax issues moving forward here. And so you just can't pay everybody. And for they wanted to try to get a first-round pick back for Cam Reddish or a young player that might not be on the clock to have to get an extension here. And they ended up really getting the thing that has value is the pick from New York that comes from Charlotte. And they can use that in another trade because, you know, Atlanta's trying to do some bigger things here to improve their team. I think for the Knicks, hey, listen, this is a player that, you know, certainly offensively you've seen him really grow this year. You know, he's had a couple 30-point games. He's shooting threes at a much better clip. You know, defensively to play for Tom Thibodeau, I think there's going to have to be improvement. And I think, you know, that'll be a part of his game that I'm sure they'll drill down on with him. You know, how big of a role he has immediately. Listen, I think Leon Rose and the front office, you know, they give Tom Thibodeau, you know, the ability to make decisions on minutes and who plays and why they play. And so that's all going to be for him to decide. But they traded for Cam Reddish because, you know, they see the upside. And they see at 22 years old at that position, which, you know, everybody in the league is always looking for wings. You know, this was a top 10 player. This was one of the best players in the country coming out of high school and obviously went to Duke and played with R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson there. He's up for his rookie extension this summer. And so they can make a decision on that if they want to, you know, negotiate. Certainly, I'm sure they'll negotiate an extension. We'll see if they can get to a number, or he could be a restricted free agent the following year. But there were a lot of teams interested in Cam Reddish, and teams like the Pacers were in pretty serious talks with them this week. The Lakers were still, I was told as of this morning, trying to see if they could swing a deal for Cam Reddish and a number of others. But the Knicks were able to pull it off. Again, 22 years old, really skilled athletically at 6'8", long, you know, gives them, you know, just another piece for their young nucleus.
And, of course, once you now, as you mentioned, played with R.J. Barrett at Duke, and you say that and you know what the speculation is in New York, because we overreact a smidge here, as you know, Woj, is the next question becomes, oh, do they now trade for Zion and get these three, reunite these three guys in New York? Zion hasn't played at all this season. Before we even get into that speculation, when do we expect to see Zion get back on the court in New Orleans?
Well, first of all, I thought the Knicks were a Kentucky school.
Yeah.
Now they're a Duke school. Which is it?
Ask RJ.
This isn't a college. I mean, you guys know this isn't a college recruiting class. Like, you're not recruiting. Like, they traded for Cam Reddish because he made sense. He was available. I don't believe it's part of, like, you know, again, Zion's not a free agent. It's not like they're clearing cap space to go sign a big free agent. They brought in. I see the coincidence there, but I could see where people might look at it that way. Mm-hmm. It's not. They're independent of whatever could happen with Zion down the road. As far as I know, that's not a factor in this. And so, as for Zion, listen, the plan and the expectation, I'm told, continues to be he is going to play this season. He's not sitting the season out. Now, barring a setback, he's had setbacks in his rehab, barring another one or more setbacks, I'm told that the expectation is he will play, and he's rehabbing toward coming back. And that's the plan. That's the plan in New Orleans. And you know, they want to get him healthy. They want to get him on the court. You know, they want to see him have some success this season and kind of see what their team looks like.
You know, last one for me, Woj. Another player that hasn't played this year is Ben Simmons. His representatives met with Elton Brand and company. Do we see something, you know, this coming to a conclusion anytime soon?
I do not see a conclusion, Bart, anytime soon.
Wow.
You know, both sides are dug in, which is Ben Simmons is no closer to playing for the Sixers this season. And the Sixers are no closer to giving in and essentially saying, you know what? Hey, when we get to the trade deadline, whatever our best offer is, we're going to just make the trade. That's not what they're saying. That's not what they're doing. They have an asking price. Now, listen, everything's a negotiation, and what the Sixers want today and what they eventually get may look different, but their belief is we aren't making this trade unless we think we get back something that allows us to believe that we are a championship contender. And they certainly know they are not that without Ben Simmons playing and with that hole in their roster. But to them, just getting what they can get right now and believing that it doesn't put them in position, this is the last big chip for them to play. Mm-hmm. And because Ben Simmons has 4 years left on his deal, that it, either at some point he's going to have to play basketball again or play for them, or they'll get the trade they want. And so, like, this can't go on forever. I do think it could go on past the trade deadline, and it could go through the end of the season and then into the draft. You know, when it's easier to make deals around the draft, it's easier to make big deals around the draft because, you know, you have clarity on what draft picks are available, and, you know, teams can make trades based on kind of the players they might be targeting, or all of those things make it just easier to do big deals than it is at the trade deadline.
Right.
They're going to continue to try to find a deal, and there's teams certainly very interested. But when you look at the players available to the Sixers now in trades, if it's Sabonis in Indiana, Harrison Barnes in Sacramento, a John Collins potentially in Atlanta, you know, those right now are not moving the needle for the Sixers. Could that change? You know, could they get to the draft and say, you know what, that's the best we can do, and we've got to look at this differently? Perhaps. But that's not their thinking now, and I just think this Ben Simmons thing is going to very likely drag on.
It's amazing to think that, and they are just kind of, you know, they're getting through it, fifth in the East, and Embiid's playing out of his mind, but they certainly need another piece if they want to try to contend for a championship at least this year, and they might have to wait if everything that you're hearing does come to fruition. All right, so there was a report that suggested that if the Nets wanted to pay a fine for every game that Kyrie played at home, that he'd be available to play every game, that's all they'd have to do. What is the reporting that you've gotten out of this hypothetical?
Well, that while that may be a part of the city's governance and the bylaw, that that essentially you could find someone. The NBA is saying no, that if a local municipality, the city of New York or any of these cities, if they have a law in place, the team has to follow it. The player has to follow it. So there was a memo that I was redirected toward September 1 that told teams that if a player is ineligible under local guidelines, then that player cannot play.
I guess that puts an end to that hypothetical
so
then.
Right? Kyrie Irving is going to likely have to get vaccinated, or the New York City rule is going to have the law is going to have to change, you know, to have him as a full-time player.
Yeah, okay, and we'll see. Again, a lot of time left before we get to a playoffs where it really is going to matter, because sitting out of Game 7 at home, that's hard for anyone to do. Woj, I know you're busy. Thanks so much for the time. Great stuff as always.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Okay, talk to you soon.
All right, you got it. Adrian Wojnarowski again on the Goodyear Hotline. Interesting what he said there, though, about Zion. I mean, there's a lot of interesting things that to take from that, but the thing about Zion, first of all, if anybody that wants to, that we were making jokes about it, but the reality is, though, there's nothing connected here, and you know, don't get caught up if you're a Knicks fan thinking, oh, they got Cam Reddish. Now they're getting Zion. That, as he said, they're independent of each other, and the idea is just to get Zion on the court and get him right. Starts there.
Yeah.
But how about Ben Simmons?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing there.
Crazy.
And the
he's
Sixers
already lost $10 million, right?
But think about this. Yeah. The Sixers could go through this whole season and that move him.
I thought there's reports as well as that they were wanting to get rid of. They were looking for, you know, Tobias Harris to be moved as well.
Well, they're trying to figure out how they've got to
get another
look,
star.
Embiid is how many is it 10 in a row, 11 in a row, 30 point games? Like, he's been on a tear right now, playing out of his mind. He's playing probably the best basketball of his career. And when you look at them as a team, they're competitive, but are they a championship caliber team? No.
Yeah.
No. And one of their most important pieces is not playing, so they could go a whole year without him. That right there, wow. That's an amazing one. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Of course. Always want you to be honest.
He lost me a Bobo.
That really cut you, huh? I felt like I needed to
Do I not see, like, that this guy has the talent if he just gets the opportunity? I mean, Julius Randle. Nobody thought Julius Randle was capable of being a star, right? Nobody saw Kawhi Leonard coming and becoming a star. It have been guys that have bucked the system of what the belief and other people, you know, believe they see.
But they think he's always going to be hurt.
He hasn't been hurt.
He has a physical, man.
But he hasn't. When has he been on the injury reserve list for them?
Well, he doesn't play.
So how's he hurt?
He didn't pass a physical. They brought him in, and they didn't pass him. That's why the deal didn't go down.
I'm not trusting,
I know that
I'm not
you.
Trusting the medical staff.
But what hurt you more was what Woj told you, which is what he's – I mean, you know, again, nobody's more plugged in than him. And I've tried to explain this to you as you're talking about how you think he
can
be a superstar.
Shoot. He can dribble.
He's saying no
he's
one
7'4".
Sees him as
he's
a starter
Taco Falls,
in this
bro.
League.
He's not Taco Falls.
No, Taco Fall can barely stay in
was
the
Was his
league.
Dad a starter?
Yes.
So you're telling
now
me
you're saying he's better.
You're telling me he's not better than his dad. His dad can handle like him.
The game is
now his
different.
Dad can shoot. His dad can shoot. I ain't gonna lie with
he
that.
He started shooting threes.
His dad can shoot.
His dad can shoot. Yes,
but he can shoot like his dad, and he got handles. He's evolution, but he can't play in his game.
I can't understand this obsession. I really can't.
I'm looking at skills.
I first enjoyed it. Now I'm really worried about you.
I'm looking at skills.
I'm really worried about
I'm
you.
I'm looking
now.
At skills.
This is like if I and, thought and Gardner height. Minshew is a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and no one knows it. Like, that's like me going like that.
Gardner
far.
Minshew could be better than Kirk Cousins.
You think so?
Yes.
Gardner Minshew.
Could be better than Kirk Cousins. If I had to pick Gardner Minshew or Kirk Cousins, I would on a team
yeah.
with a lot of talent. He did magic in a place where it had no talent. Now, some people may say, okay, well, I think he's more Ryan Fitzpatrick than better than Kirk Cousins. But I think if he was in a place, do you see what happens when he gets in there with Philly?
Yeah, I think he's a guy that – I think he's a gadget guy. I think he's a guy in a pinch, you know, you can get something. But as a regular starter, as a consistent starter, no. I think when teams are scheming for him,
he's better
no.
than Tyrod Taylor to me. He's better than well, all those –
How low
are we – he's better than all those secondary
you tell me
guys.
He's a top 50 quarterback in the NFL, I'll agree with you.
I would tell you that he's a top 32 player.
This is tremendous. Seriously, man. You're that,
top,
you're that dug in.
Gardner Minshew, like Bobo, won't be appreciated until he gets his shot.
So you say. So as we were talking about the Knicks, mm-hmm. RJ Barrett, it's 8 games now where he's averaging, I think it's about 23 a game. He had another 30-point game last night. He's had 3 30-point games in his last 5. The Knicks beat the Mavericks last night on ESPN, and the Mavericks didn't look good at all. They were without Porzingis. Doncic didn't look really good at all. Like there was, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that I think New York City got a piece of the Mavericks the night before, if you know what I'm saying. So anyways, the Knicks took advantage of it. RJ Barrett looked fantastic. And there's a sense, is he starting to emerge now as someone you look at and say, look, number 3 pick in the draft. I don't know what he was. I really don't. I still don't know really what he is. But he's feeling good about the Knicks getting to 500 and him hitting 30 again.
Felt great, especially because so many guys played well. You know, even that last shot for me to get 30, you know, Julius being unselfish. So it's just, you know, doing it as a team is what's getting us these wins.
Why you always got to throw Julius in there?
I think he's trying to credit a guy who was the all-star last year, who's not playing well this year, who's, you know, willingly passing, willingly, you know, deferring. Okay, you got it going, RJ. I'll make the pass to you. I'll set you up. I think that's important.
All right.
They need it, man. But you're not buying any of this. You're so down right now. I can't get you feeling good.
Nothing you can say.
Nothing I can say? Are you sure there's nothing I can
other,
say?
Other than Bobo, the trade's back on.
You know what? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah. It was real, Bobo.
You are so down about Bobo.
So now I can't even use Jay Weezy's tickets.
No, you can't even. We can't even go to the game now.
I won't go to the game.
Austin wants to talk to you about Bobo. Go ahead, Austin.
Why does he not think he's better than his dad?
I do. That's what I'm saying. I do think he's better than his dad.
No. I'm talking about Han.
Well, he is better. I didn't say he wasn't.
His dad was a starter in his league. So why is
his dad was a starter? The game was completely different back then.
It was about spacing, right?
No.
Well, what about versatility? He was the first stretch. He was one of the first stretch fives. He was shooting three. Him and Bill Laimbeer.
He literally was stretch five. Yes, he was 7 foot
so
six.
So if his son can dribble, explain to the caller, if his son has better handles, can start his own drive. We saw him in the summer league block a shot.
It's the summer league. I look, are we saying he's better than his dad? Yes,
he's
I don't disagree with that.
He can't be a starter
but
in this league.
Well, I'm not. Woj said it, and Woj talks to everybody. So I don't know, Austin. Do you think that Bobo is someone that you could see one day as a starting quality scoring, I don't know what he'd be, a wing, a center? What would he
Absolutely.
Be?
Absolutely.
Why? What convinces you of this?
Rebound, shooting, handles off the chart. Don't pull up a 5-minute video.
I've watched him.
Bobo, and you'll think differently.
I think
out of the 32 centers in the NBA, I guarantee you he'd be 17th in my book.
I think he's better than Porzingis.
What do you think he shoots from 3-point range?
He had a shot, chance getting a rhythm. He can't come in and not come in, go out. No, somebody needs to give him time to play and say, you know what, you're a guy. He don't need to be looking over his shoulder.
All right, last year.
That's what happens when people stand on the shoulders of giants, and Bobo is a giant.
Well, he's 7'2". His father was taller.
Yeah, 7'6", right?
Yeah, 7'6". Because
George Muresan was 7'7". That's why he was number 77. And Mark Eaton
well
was
done. That's a great reference.
And Mark Eaton was
very
four,
impressed.
Mark Eaton was what, 7'4"?
Mark Eaton was 7'4", one of the great shot blockers in the game.
Yeah, and yes. Bobo 7'2", with an arm span like Dazem from Street Fighter.
Right. Well, what I want everybody to do is call in and try to convince Bart, tell him either he's right about Bobo or he's wrong about Bobo, but he's very, very depressed. And let me know what you think of the Cam Reddish trade to the Knicks. What did it mean for the Hawks? What does it mean for the Knicks? And should there be more to come from the Knicks? And also Kyrie and the speculation of the Nets could just pay fines. And Woj says, no, they cannot. They can pay the fines, but he cannot play. So that's also part of that story. So we'll hear from you coming up. But also, it's NFL Wild Card Weekend. And that means, Bart, there's money to be made. Yeah, we'll try to make you some money. Coming up next, Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
They said we were nuts back in the fall of 1979, saying that all sports 24 hours a day would make it on TV. And now you say we're nuts trying to start ESPN Radio? We're dead serious. We know you like us on TV, and if you do, you'll love us on radio.
30 years and counting. This is ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Bart, we've got a lot of calls here, but we do have Jerry who wants to talk about Bobo and Minshew. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, Bart, I got your back on it. I think Bobo should be starting. He's better. I think he's better than his dad. He can handle the ball, and I think he needs an opportunity. I just don't think people are giving him an opportunity. And I also think that Gardner Minshew is better than several quarterbacks that's starting in the NFL right now. Put him in Cleveland. Give him Baker's job with the weapons they have. I bet Gardner would win there.
Put Gardner Minshew in Cleveland. Have him compete for the job with Baker Mayfield and see if he could beat him out. What am I missing?
Minshew had Jacksonville when he was a full-time starter going, and that was a bad roster.
Had them going. They had the number one pick.
Nah, but before like that, I'm talking about that year I think he was injured, the year before that. Like, he was a thing. He became a phenomenon.
Well, he became that
with
thing.
With the Jorts and all that stuff, but he was
didn't
a good.
Didn't he knock Blake Bortles out, right? Like, wasn't that what it was? Like, he basically took the job from him. He got the opportunity and became, like, sort of a sensation. I'm not trying to look. It makes it sound like I hate this stuff, too. It becomes like the hater and all that stuff. That's not where I'm going with it. What I'm saying is like, he's a guy that you could watch and think, boy, he should be better than he is, or he should get a bigger opportunity. But, I mean, you know, smarter people than us watching these guys, it lets you know. I mean, there's very few Jeremy Lins in the world. Right? That's what makes Jeremy Lin.
Kirk Cousins was that. Dak Prescott was that.
Kurt Warner was that.
Yeah. Russell Wilson was that.
Kirk Cousins, was he that? Kirk Cousins was drafted. Kirk Cousins was there on a roster, and it took an injury to get an opportunity.
Gardner Minshew was drafted, too.
Yeah.
Like, Russell Wilson was like, he was like fourth-round draft pick.
I don't want to get stuck on this.
Okay.
I do not want
But
to
you
get.
See they out there. They coming for you.
That's all right.
With their lead dunkaroos.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. All right. Do we have Doug? Is Doug available? Is he with us yet? All right. We're working on Doug Kazarian right now because we have to get him on so we can make you some money. So we will do that. But in the meantime, let's continue. We got a 40. We haven't heard from 40 in a while.
41.
40, what's up?
Now, quick, I want to back up staff real quick, man, and his playoff performances. He definitely had a bad game against the Saints, but let's not act like against the Cowboys, they didn't pick up the flag and we had that game in the bag. In the Seattle game, he had the broken thumb in the game, Seattle, a bogus touchdown. It's not like staff is not bad in the playoffs, man. I think he's actually going to do something. I think he's going to take the Rams on the run this year, man, honestly.
I think so. I think he understands assignment.
Ton of pressure. Oh, you got one more question for Bart?
I know he's a hometown. He's a Detroit.
Yeah.
He's a Detroit native. What do you think the Lions going to do next year, man? You think we got a chance with Brad Holmes calling the shots now? Drafting these players, man, he did an awesome job. We got St. Brown. He's like a monster.
Yeah.
You know, we got Pinesu. What do you think we're going to do this year, buddy?
I think they're going pass rusher. I mean, I think if Hutchinson drops, they go Hutchinson. If not, they go Thibodeau. And be able to grab a pass rusher to try and put some pressure, take some pressure off of that secondary, and hopefully that secondary comes back healthy, you know, for all the season injury IRs that they had.
Yeah, all right, so we'll see what happens there in the draft. Right now we got some playoff games to talk about and playoff games to see if we can make some money on them. When we want to do that, we go to our good friend Doug Kazarian, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Of course, you see him on Daily Wager and other places as well. Doug, how we doing?
Doing well, my friends. Happy playoff weekend to you.
Yes. All right. So is that we've got this is that settle in, get cozy on the couch, do not move. Plenty of football this weekend, and all of them, tons of pressure, tons of excitement. Is there an underdog though this week that you love on the money line?
Oh gosh, you're right. Dogs have barked a lot in recent years in this wild card round. The only one I like the most, is Arizona. They've already proven they can win in LA. They've been really good on the road this year. The problem is they've looked terrible down the stretch, right? They've lost four or five. But we always see a team kind of come out of nowhere, I guess is the best way to put it, but surprise us that hasn't looked great. Kyler Murray's the ultimate difference maker and the X factor, and he's kind of a cheat code. So I would not be shocked if Arizona goes into LA and wins.
Now, a tough one, I don't know where to go with it, but what about Seattle and the Raiders? The Raiders in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You think about what NASA, what am I talking about?
Where
man?
Are you going?
I'm talking about Crosby, and I'm talking about Yannick really bringing it to Burrow, who really, you know, he's thrown for a bunch of yards, but he's been hit and sacked a lot. Like, do we believe that, you know, the Raiders can go in there underneath these circumstances and get the job done? Because these are two very close teams as far as talent.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously have demonstrated they're capable of doing things like that. They've went into the dog pound. They went into Indy and won. They've been proven doubters wrong down this entire stretch, finishing the year with four straight wins. I do like the Bengals in the game, and I think they win comfortably. They've already won comfortably in Vegas this year. I just think the Raiders defense, despite the defensive front that you just alluded to with Crosby and company, is not very strong. They're going to give up a lot of yards, and I think Joey B is going to carve them up. Now, the question is, can the Raiders continue to do it with smoke and mirrors? I don't know. Let's not forget last week they got a gift at the end of the first half with that pass interference. This team is not very good, so I think the Bengals get the win, probably the cover.
Doug Kazarian joining us right now. All right. I wonder how we play these games. Saturday night, sub-zero, divisional opponents who have seen each other and know each other, Bills, Patriots, but we just – the weather factor, meaning how cold it is, the impact it could have. We've already had one of these games between these two already, but that was more of blizzard conditions. This is just bitter cold. Does weather play into a factor here when you consider who you want to play or if you even want to touch this game, because there are some variables that you won't really know until the game begins?
So when we start things out, it's wind is the ultimate, like, that's the big one for the over-unders. It's wind, and that's the hard part. But after that, yeah, I mean, I think at some point when it's 0 degrees and subarctic temperatures, players are a little tight and the ball's harder. And, I mean, look, it's not going to affect the flight of the ball, but I do think there's an element of it does affect things at some point. Typically, it's just wind, but at some point, cold factors in.
What is your best bet this weekend? I mean, we got some really interesting games.
I'm on the Cowboys. I think that number is too short. I think it should be like 4.5. I think 3. Look, I understand San Francisco, what they've done with Kittle in the lineup, and Shanahan as a dog has certainly covered a lot. I just think Dallas at full strength is so much sharper than San Francisco and so much more consistent than like Jimmy G and company. I just trust the Cowboys to cover the 3, but I think it's going to be a one-score game. I think they win by 6 or 7.
See, Bart has that labeled as an upset alert because of the physicality.
A lot of
effect.
People do.
Yeah.
And all the pressure as well that's on there. You know, when you think about, you know, the pressure of Dak Prescott, you know, one and done, you know, and they're expected to win. And right now, I think the most dangerous team is a team that has to win to get in because they've been in playoff mode. And then when that team has a defense – and the ability. You know what concerned me? When I saw Chandler Jones destroying Tyron Smith.
It was just a – yeah.
Yeah, when I saw Tyron Smith getting whooped by – and I just imagined like a guy like you know, Bosa there, and I can see a little bit more of the same and making him uncomfortable. Because I feel like the Cowboys have lost their identity. They don't believe in running the football. They don't attempt to run the football. And when you throw the ball that many times, you're going to leave the door open for any team to come back, no matter how big the lead is.
Well, we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, no, look, I think the physicality is a great point. I think you're on to something. I wouldn't be shocked if any of these teams – I even like Pittsburgh to keep it relatively close.
That's where I was going next with
Largest point spread in wild card weekend. But I just think Dallas is so much sharper and crisper on offense that people realize, again, when they're at full strength.
Yeah, and that's it. And now you mentioned the Pittsburgh thing, and that's real quick. Is that, you know, you heard Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, he's like, oh, we're 20-point underdogs. People are, you know, we're probably the worst of all the teams that are in this wild card weekend. Like, really laying it on thick. Or is he right? Like, are they that big of an underdog?
Well, look, we saw the regular season meeting, and it was a complete beatdown. I just think it's too many points for a Chiefs team that is typically not that dominant. Like, yes, they were against Pittsburgh in that game. But for the most part, there's a Chiefs team that has had some struggles. The defense is not as great as people want to make it out to be. And I just think Pittsburgh can keep this within the number. These games get tight, man. It's rarely do we see blowouts. So 13's a lot.
Doug, I got to mention that in the national championship game at the end, there was no Gatorade. We never got to see the color. Kirby Smart did not get doused in Gatorade.
How can they do that? That's so un-American. Un-American.
If you put money down, what happens there? Like, do we have to open
get
up
the, refunded.
The push?
You don't open up the jug and like take a picture?
Unless no Gatorade was on the index betting. Like, if Notre Gatorade was an optional, then that's the winner.
Yeah,
you can tell Georgia wasn't used to winning, and they didn't expect to win because they didn't even know what to do. hey, we won. No, dummy, where's the Gatorade?
All right, Doug, thanks so much. It's going to be a real busy weekend and an exciting one. Great to talk to you. Thanks.
You got it, fellas. Thanks so much.
All right, Doug Kazarian on the Goodyear Hotline. Coming up, your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Knicks make a trade. It's not a big one, but how much of an impact will it have, do you think, on this team that just got to 500? And should there be more? We'll discuss that after I tell you to join host Gotham Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena. A new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports, a companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries. This 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN Plus.
The NFL is on. Key, Jay, and now Max Kellerman.
When you have a problem with someone, you will find anything to turn it into a negative. And this is what is happening with Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys.
Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Han.
Kurt Cobain crossed over, man, where people that was in rap and stuff always, you know, talked about him. He was an icon.
Oh, yeah. As an artist, that's usually how that works, right? Yeah. Talent recognized talent, as they say.
Yeah, man.
Hey, if you missed any portion of this show, you can always find all 3 hours of Bart and Han Post Daily as a podcast available wherever you listen to your podcast, including Adrian Wojnarowski, who gave us the latest on the Knicks trade for Cam Reddish, the former first-round pick. Adding another dookie to that team with R.J. Barrett, who's been playing out of his mind lately. Also about the hypothetical of the Nets paying a fine to let Kyrie Irving play in Brooklyn, despite the fact that the city ordinance say he can't because he's not vaccinated, and yeah. Woj let you know the league would not allow that. So there's that, and then the Bulbul trade that was not.
Yeah, that was a buzz.
That's the one that hurt you.
Show.
It hurt you. Let's lift our spirits and go to the Dr. Pepper call on line 888-8-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Arius joins us right now. Arius?
What's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Doing good, man. Just want to say, go ahead, take the Steelers against the spread. Mike Tomlin's not going to go out like that. Also, Raiders made it in. Sorry about your Colts. Bart, I hope you're happy. Baltimore's where they belong. You guys have a good day.
No, that's fine. They do. They are where they belong, in reload phase. And all those guys coming off IR, Gus Edwards, Ronnie Stanley, you know, J.K. Dobbin, Marlon Humphreys, Marcus Peters, they got an all-star team coming back, and they're going to be out for blood. Believe that.
Raiders, he meant. I mean, Ravens, he meant, not Colts. He said,
yeah, I know. I knew what he said. Colts. No, yeah. That's what he said.
Yeah, I hear you. Jay joins us next. What's going on, Jay?
Hey, what's good, guys? Man, I just want to do two quick observations regarding the NBA. But now I'm a fan. I've been watching for a long time. I think the Milwaukee Bucks are absolutely primed in a great position because, you know, in terms of all this talk, who won't win, this, that, and the other, no one really talks about the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, they've been the defending champs. They're right under the radar. And that's just a perfect place to be. and I think they might have a chance to get back out of the East again just for some of those reasons. And secondly, people have been talking about Memphis Grizzlies. As much as I like what they're doing, there's a pedigree and an ingredients for winning NBA championships. Right now, the Grizzlies don't meet that pedigree. And in 2 to 3, maybe 4 NBA All-Stars, and at least 2 to potential NBA Hall of Famers on their roster. Last time it happened was with the Detroit Pistons with the Rip Hamilton and the Wallace guys. Memphis is not ready yet. I love what they're doing, but they're not ready
yet.
Well,
I mean, yeah, and Jay, I mean, of course, you know, it's hard to see that they would become champions, but they're certainly, certainly on their way. All right, Bart, we do have an update from Jeff Passan on baseball. The sides were supposed to meet and see if they could come to an agreement. Well, of
synergy.
Course, Passan says no deal, never was going to be one. Baseball made a proposal. The union, not happy. Not positive. Few on either side expected it to be. The question is how soon the MLBPA counters. Jeff Passan says spring training starting on time is in peril, as we expected. These always take forever.
Yeah,
no one ever gets serious until
deadlines,
you start missing
freeze,
time.
Action.
Yeah, yeah. So for baseball, again, we're in the midst of cold weather right now, but we start thinking about spring training when we get to late February, and he's saying – that might not happen. So we got Wild Card Weekend to talk about tomorrow. We're going to have some fun with you. Trash Talk Friday. Be ready for it, Bart. See you tomorrow.
Ahala.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Han, the podcast.